Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Okay, I think we're back in business here. Like crazy. I'm on my phone now. I've got to get back into the studio. I hope everybody can hear me. So let's get busy with some joint rolling, if I can pull up my music, because it's kind of crazy. I don't even see my music coming up, so I don't know how I'm going to do this. Oh, here we go. Okay, intro music is coming up. I love technology. Welcome, everybody. It's time for healing. Let's just get busy. I don't even have all my makeup on, my jewelry, but let's do some joint rolling and get this party started. I'm going to put on my Time for Healing music.
Sisters and brothers, yes. That is not the way that it's supposed to be.
No. We were meant to live in peace and harmony.
There are so many old rooms and scars.
And let's get on, let's roll our elbows now, get those elbows lubricated. We get synovial fluid in our joints when we roll our joints around. And what, that helps us be more flexible, more lubricated, because this is an advanced communication system and we need lubrication. Let's reverse that. Keep it going. The music has stopped, but just keep rolling those joints to time for healing. And breathing in, breathing in, breathing in. All right, now let's roll over on our side, and let's get some lubrication going in our hip joints. Almost done. We got to get both sides lubricated and moving. Breathing in, breathing in. And let's reverse it. Reversing it, reversing. Reversing, reversing, reversing. And feeling better every moment, every minute. All right, let's just roll over to the other side. And let's get the other hip rolling, lubricated. And we're almost done. You're doing great. Keep it up. Keep it up. Lubrication. You're going to be so much more flexible today when you do these rolls and do these exercises. Breathe in. Breathing in. Breathing in. All right. All right, let's get on our backs real quick, and let's rub the bottom of the feet together, activating the meridians in the body. And keep it going, keep it going. Hug those knees, hug those knees. Give your knees a little hug. Roll side to side, side to side. And let's roll over to one side and push up. And we're almost there. Woohoo! You ought to be feeling a lot looser and more flexible. And let's just give our vagus nerve some stimulation. Rub those hands together. Breathe in, breathe in. And squeeze the back of the neck. Squeeze and release, squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Ah, oh, wow. Feels better already. Whew. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. We have done complete body joint rolling. We should be high now. You know how it is when you're rolling joints, we get high. So we should be high on life. And so I'm high and really excited to have a guest today that is just extraordinaire. I call him the artist extraordinaire. So I'm going to move my equipment back to my studio. Give you a little tour of my house in the meantime. And take my phone up to the... All right, we're almost there. Okay, I had some last-minute adjustments to make this morning, but I hope everybody can hear me in the studio because it was some adjustments being made. Grand Rising, I don't even have my earrings on. I don't have my necklace on. I feel naked almost. But I'm here, and my guest is here. So I'm going to bring in my guest. Hope he's ready. Let's see. Van, are you ready, Van Dorn?
I'm ready.
How are you this morning?
Great, Mike.
I'm going to turn the volume up a little. I had so many technical adjustments I had to make this morning. And I'm just grateful that my screen sharing, let's hope my screen sharing works, because that's another one I'm going to test this morning for the first time.
Well, we'll see how it works. Yes.
Welcome, Van Dorn Hinnart, right? Hinnart.
Well, you can pronounce it hennet. It's a short A as opposed to a long A.
Hennet.
Hennet. Like hand. Like the word hen and hand.
Hennet.
Okay.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you. I read all the texts you sent me, and the word extraordinaire just comes up when I want to describe who you are. You're not just an artist. You know, at first it was, oh, he's an artist. And I thought about Artist Henson, our friend from Virginia, and I'm like, well, no, it's not that. But you're an artist extraordinaire. So I want my listening audience to know all about you in the next couple of hours, and then whenever you're ready, I can share, I think, your website and then your Etsy screen. But would you like to share a little bit about your background, where you're from? And by the way, I have to throw this in for everybody. Van Don and Dorn and I are Pisces, right? He's born, this is just the synchronicity of things, I realize. He's born he's born 2 years before me and 4 days, I think, no, 3 days after, 3 days after me. Guess what? Last night I was with my sister and her family. My sister is also a Pisces. You and her are born in the same year and you're 10 days apart.
Okay. That is
amazing. The numbers just keep speaking. So we had a wonderful time last night. I got back so late. I was so tired. I had to go to sleep right away and wake up at 6 in the morning. But we had a great time at a resort here in Orlando with four children, 10 and below. And we were swimming and just having an amazing time at this beautiful resort. So I'm just feeling really blessed right now to be in this place to just sit and listen to you for a while and enjoy your amazing works of art. So I'm going to give the floor to you, Mr. Van Dorn, in that. And if you would just share a little bit about your background and how you started off on this amazing adventure to create these beautiful art pieces.
All right. So here's it's time for some deep truth telling here.
Yay!
I realized at some particular point in my journey that the word artist is actually a cover, sort of like a front for what I'm really doing. I'm really, some people would call, I'm going to word it this way. Some people would call what I am doing practicing medicine. That's what some people would say. I can't say that because that's illegal in our system. But some people would say that Van Dorn is practicing medicine. And I say that because many people have had phenomenal transformative experiences just witnessing what I am doing. And I'm not linear, so I don't go from point A to point B to point C to point D. I jump all around because there's no place in space-time that I do not exist, and for those who understand non-linearity. So I was in New York City vending at the Jacobs Center in 2004, and I was minding my own business. I had this booth where I had all of my sacred geometry artwork, all of my organic abstractions artwork there on view. And a man and a woman walked up on me. They looked like they had walked right off of the Matrix movie set. From head to toe, they had hair cut very, very short to a male and a female. And I would guess that they could be in their late 30s, early 40s, but more brown skin than I am, and as clear as a day. So the first words out of their mouth were, "Do you know what you're doing?" And they were asking me about my sacred geometry. They had no interest in the organic abstraction. And I said to myself, okay, this is going to be interesting. So I answered them as truthfully as I could. I don't know what I said, but the short of it is this. They were telling me I needed to be careful as to what I was putting out. They made reference to some teachings that they were involved in. They gave me the name of a book, which I actually lost on a little piece of paper, so I don't even know the name of the book, so that I could go and reference it. But it was the most unusual experience for me to have, because, and I've heard other stories about this type of work that I'm doing, how it is part of a, it is actually medicine, but once again, I can't claim to be practicing medicine. So I will simply say that the geometries do have an effect upon consciousness. And so, you know, I tend to go deep. And so let's go back to some of my background. I was born in 1953, grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina. Attempted to fit into the matrix as I was being asked to. That was very difficult because I came here with memory. So being born with memory made it impossible for me to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never been normal. I'm as atypical as they get, maybe. And I think you and I were talking about this program that's on now. It's on Showtime. It's called The Man Who Fell to Earth. Well, I'm watching this program, and I'm saying, gosh, they're talking about me. Except for, to my knowledge, I didn't come here to save my home planet. I'm here working to assist with what's happening on this planet. And but anyway, Vianda, I would have to ask you to just please ask specific questions, because my storytelling, once again, is non-linear. So I jump all around what we conveniently call the timeline and visit lots of places. I could tell, you know, a number of stories, but I want to speak more directly to what I will call our mission today, which is to help viewers have some sense of the importance of the work that I'm doing. We can call it artwork if you want to, but there's more to it than what the word art implies. And I tell people that the word art is an abbreviation of the word artifact, and all artifacts have meaning. In other words, everything that we create has meaning, just like everything in nature has meaning. So the question is, what is the meaning of this? We discussed on the phone before the question of how long does it take you to make this work of art? And I have told everyone that that question is anathema to my spirit. It isn't about time. It's about purpose and meaning and intent. So
yeah.
Navigating by intent,
mm-hmm.
Navigating with the idea of this having a positive impact upon someone somewhere, sometime. That is my focus, that what I share has a positive impact upon someone somewhere, sometime. Now, I throw the word positive in there. That's a tricky proposition, simply because if we have an evolved awareness of how things work, that which is negative can be understood as being positive. How do I take any experience that I'm having and make the best of it, turn it into a positive, even if it wants to look like a negative? So having said that, do you have any key questions that you could ask?
Well, when you mentioned... can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, I'm trying to get my executive producer to play commercials because I can't do that this morning. So Naima, if you're listening, I need your help with commercials, and I can open your mic like on Sunday. But my question, yeah, like you said, I'm not interested in how long did it take you to create these beautiful pieces. I'm more like, what was the inspiration with each piece? Like, if we can pull up some of these pieces, I would like to know, you know, more about what is it that was working in your imagination, in your thoughts, in your memory. Okay, because you're saying you came here with a memory. And I believe my grandson is like that. He's an old soul.
Yes.
So that's what you mean when you say you came with a memory, right? You're an old soul.
Also, yes, right.
And you remember things that most people don't remember because they didn't experience it for whatever reason. But I'm going
to
pull
like,
up.
I like to speak to why it is that they don't.
Okay, go ahead. And I've got your Etsy. Can you see that?
Yes,
Okay, so we go ahead and explain. I've got some of his work on the screen for those of you who are in the studio. And if you're on Facebook, you can see these beautiful pieces. But go ahead and explain that for me.
All right. My understanding of how it is that may come to this world without memory is that souls are white slated. It's called, in the military, they call it white slated. And what happens is their memories are actually intentionally erased. Some people say that that is a gift and a blessing. I'm not certain that that's an absolute. So I'm not buying the idea that it is a gift and a blessing that individuals' memories are white slated. What I'm doing is I'm actually looking through some images that I can actually share with you, images that are not going to be seen elsewhere. Let me just flash this one on the screen. That's an image. It's actually a collage. Do I have some hope? Let me see now. How do I tilt it like that? Okay, right.
I'm gonna blow that up for you. Hold on. Right, right.
Now, you know, we have, those of us who know anything about sacred geometry know that that's a sacred geometry composition. And what you see on the left-hand side and the right-hand side, the very same composition is colored different. So it actually, it, once again, it's just a study for a composition. And I won't say any more about that, except to say that that's all about the golden proportion.
Okay, center that. Okay, right, perfect, perfect. Okay, say that again. Oh, my goodness. It just reminds, yeah.
That's sacred geometry. Now, what we're doing is we're showing you something that is in harmonic resonance with your biology, okay? So our biology has everything to do with the golden proportion, down to the DNA spiral. That's very difficult to explain in a few words, in a few sentences. But what you're looking at is a pattern, and this pattern, these spirals, have to do with consciousness. The lines are more related to our mental constructs, if I may. The curves, all of the curves, are actually related to how organic matter manifests, and it has everything to do with nature and an organic life, and in terms of all of the curvilinear, the curves, the circles, and whatever. But anyway, this is a representation of the dynamics of energy flows in living systems. So it's very difficult to know what to say beyond that, but I just wanted to show you. So let me flash a few more images on you so that you can just get a feeling for this geometry that some people call sacred geometry. Let's see now. That's another composition. That's a composition that I created. Now, these compositions are done with a compass and a straight edge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all done with a compass and a straight edge.
Mm, wow.
And coloring pencils and inks and what have you. So this is a hand-generated fractal, and that's a 1, 2, 3. That's a three-iteration fractal, and what that means is that you have three patterns that are the exact same, and they have a scaling to them. So there's a small five-petal flower form in the center, one that surrounds it, and then one that surrounds it. So those patterns actually are related to flower petals and other things that grow in nature, okay? So it's a human representation of, let's just say, naturally organized matter.
Mm.
And some of these are actually created as to be cards. So this is an unusual composition here, but it simply is, I'm trying to figure out how to turn it right. It's just related to the four directions, okay?
Right, right.
All cultures honor the four directions. All right. And then here's one that I just posted on Facebook last night on a program. It's a group called Black Contributors to STEM or Science. And so that's actually done by hand also.
Wow.
And that's, I think that might be the original drawing. I'm not sure. But it's a fractal also. Snowflake crystal. Some people know the word snowflake crystal. And some people know the word fractal. And here's one of my favorites is this one.
That looks good, yeah.
That one actually reads sacred love. And let me get it situated on the screen properly here. Turn it that way.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so that actually says you have the word sacred on the outside, S-A-C-R-E-D.
Okay.
And you have the word you have the word love in the center, L-O-V-E.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing mandalas like this for several decades. So one of the stories is, how did I get introduced to what people call sacred geometry? In 1989, I met a man in Winston-Salem who was giving a workshop, and his workshop was called the 12 pages. So what he did is he took his students through an exercise of using a composite material to create drawings, all growing out of the relationship between two circles. So some of the audience knows the word vesica piscis, and vesica piscis is a term for two circles that share a radius. And what you have is in the, where the two circles have in common, the A circle has in common with the B circle, is something called a vesica. And for thousands of years, this pattern has actually meant something to humans in terms of how they identify with their cosmic views on the relationship between geometry and human beings and geometry and consciousness. So, goodness, where do we go from here?
Well, so if we were to take those drawings, those geometrical patterns, and place them on a wall, and just feast our eyes on what happens internally, mentally. Do things change when we watch those type of patterns?
Those patterns actually are two-dimensional. And they represent three-dimensional configurations, or I should say multi-dimensional configurations, because, you know, we talk about dimensions, and two dimensions is said to be a flat plane, three dimensions is said to be the x, y, z axis in space. And what happens with these two-dimensional images is that they serve as reminders to us of the sacred nature of our being. So everything that you look at outside of yourself is a reflection of what's inside of you. And these patterns are actually reminding us of the sacred patterns that exist inside of us.
Wow.
That includes inside of our auric field, okay? So, you know, when people experience certain mind-altering substances, they find themselves seeing things that you don't normally see with your two eyes. And a lot of these patterns that people, when they're under the influence of mind-altering substances, are actually understood to be sacred geometry patterns. And then when people see these patterns before them with their two eyes, their two physical eyes, there's a remembering of the what's considered the invisible realms. And so these patterns that we're looking at that are called sacred geometry patterns that I work with, they're simply reminders, as far as I'm concerned, reminders of the internal dynamics that exist within our own physiology, our own psychology, and our auric field. That includes our auric field, all this in our energy bodies, but it also includes everything that exists in the multiverse or the universe. So there are a number of significant statements that have been made down through the ages about how consciousness works, and I'm talking about what would be considered metaphorical and poetic statements, like, I can't remember exactly how it's worded, seeing the universe in a grain of sand. Well, there are multiverses that exist at sub-microscopic levels. You know, physical sciences are busy trying to quantify reality. And talking about quarks, et cetera, you know, at some particular point, we as a species were able to talk about atoms. And so I don't want to get into a discussion about atoms and molecules and subatomic particles, but to speak poetically and metaphorically, all of these dynamics exist within us at a microscopic level, and we exist within them, and I'll talk about that, them, those patterns, as a macroscopic level. So what I'm attempting to suggest here is that the planet that we live on, the solar system that we're in, the galaxy that we're in, are all part of larger bodies that we cannot see yet. And so those of us who pay attention to what to the reportage in terms of what the telescopes are seeing in space. We see these clouds of these clusters of galaxies and what have you, and they actually look like organic matter. My contention is that they are organic matter. So wrap our tiny little minds around that concept. We are looking at organic matter through telescopes, and there may be a feedback loop in all of this where all of that that we're looking at out there exists within us. Now, that's asking too much of the mind to stretch itself to be able to comprehend what I'm attempting to suggest to myself with you as a witness, which is we're looking at ourselves when we look through the telescope at those clusters out there that look like organic matter. And that's just about as far as I can stretch my mind and ask you to go with me in terms of asking the question, what is it that we are experiencing here? You know, lots of people have that question, who am I? As I stated yesterday, who is code for the word God? So W-H-O also, the letters in W-H-O also spell H-O-W. Now, I'm not so sure if you can get another word out of H-O-W. Anyway, whoa, W-O-H. Yeah, right. So that's an interesting word, too. Yeah. So anyway, and I think the word woe wants to be related to the notion of awe. Yes, maybe. Yeah. So I'm not sure if I answered your question. Please give me some assistance with where do we navigate from here?
Well, I've been studying for many years the Hebrew language and Aramaic language, and the teaching that I've been kind of embracing is that we are star seeds of light. And so everything you're saying is just resonating as truth, because if you have that belief that we are definitely mirrors of the cosmic energy you're talking about, and then these geometric forms are just, to me, bringing it into a multidimensional, existence, reality. So, yeah, I'm totally getting what you're saying, but so many of us are lost in literal, for instance, the Bible. When I watched documentary you sent me about Neville Gardner, the basic statement that the Bible is not a history book is so much like the door to open us up to what you're talking about. If you can see the metaphors and the symbolism and the allegories, instead of looking at this very important book that has been given to us, not as history, but actually a door to understand our universe.
As a map, even. Yeah.
Which is so far stretched for most people. Religion has just taken us to this untruth and lies and deception about this book. So what you're saying is bringing us back to what I feel is our reality, which is mostly invisible. Most of what we're experiencing here, to me, is like there are messengers everywhere. There are all these invisible, this energy. So maybe we can get more into the energy. I'm waiting to see if my executive producer wants to play commercials, because I cannot do commercials today. I had to go to my tablet totally dropped the studio this morning at like 2 minutes to the time to start the show. And I had to rush over and put the studio on my phone. So anyway, I'm just waiting to see if she wants to help me out with commercials, because my phone is not, I can't even hear the volume on my phone. So anyway, I'm going to go to your items here from Etsy. I think it's this from Etsy, right? And maybe you could just share a little bit about these creations and how they bring a consciousness to the people when they buy them, look at them, wear them. What do these pieces, how do these people pieces help us heal, number one, and change the energy within and even without?
All right. So I have a friend that I haven't met lives in Florida, and I've been assisting this person with recalibrating her solar energy body, and so she has one of these pendants. You see the one that is basically at the center at the bottom? That's the same one that I'm wearing, which happens to be, let's see if I can.
Wisdom Keeper?
Wisdom Keeper, yes. Okay. Oh, actually, yeah, I apologize. I'm actually not wearing, but that's a Wisdom Keeper right there. Okay.
It looks similar. Oh, okay. They're the same. Okay.
That's the thing. I just wanted to show you on screen, but it looks like Dr. Trent is.
Okay.
What happens is it has a donation on the inside, and then on the outside, the pattern on the outside is called a lobby close to the dodecahedron. So that's, I don't want to get into too many technicalities. Let's just say the two pieces that you see on the bottom, the two orbs, they have the identical geometry on the outside, and they actually have the identical geometry on the inside. But what makes them different is that the one on the far left of the screen, it actually has walls that create these little pockets that if you could see it up close, you would see it. It looks like a tent. The pockets actually look like a tent. Here's the form right here that I'm getting ready to put this in front of so that's the form that you're looking at on the left, right there.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Right.
Right.
Okay, here. Right.
Right.
So I'm moving it around so that you can get an idea of the geometry.
Mm.
And I'm trying to figure out how to turn it so that you can see that there's actually on the inside, right there, on the inside of this form is a hollow dodecahedron. On the other form, is a solid dodecahedron. So one has a hollow dodecahedron on the inside, and the other has a solid dodecahedron on the inside.
Now you have to break down that word, dodecahedron.
Yes, the word do, it means two, and deca means ten. So that's from another language. It might be Latin. I believe it might be Latin. So do and deca. And if I'm wrong about it, the origins of the word being Latin, please forgive me. I just know it's a language let's just say a language from the past. And so the dodecahedron, two and ten equals 12. It has 12 pentagonal faces. And that particular form is understood in some ancient teachings to represent the etheric forces. Okay, there's a reason for that, but doesn't want to be a class today. But the dodecahedron actually has specific energetic signatures that can be said to be related to all of life. So if we look at all of the geometries that are considered platonic solids, the cube, inside of every dodecahedron, you can fit five unique cubes. But I don't have a physical representation of that, so I'm only speaking words that I'm attempting to paint pictures with words. But the dodecahedron, some people can act, well, you look it up, you know, those who want to know what a dodecahedron is that hasn't chosen to study what's called sacred geometry. The dodecahedron represents the etheric force. The icosahedron, which is 20 equilateral triangles. And when I say icosahedron, I guess I'm talking about what's called a regular icosahedron, because you can have a regular dodecahedron and an irregular dodecahedron, meaning that the faces are either regular pentagons, which means that all of the shapes are, you can turn it in any direction, and it's the same shape. Rotated on its axis from the center, and it's the same shape, like a cube, or like a square, excuse me. So if you take a square, and if you take a square in a plane, and you rotate it 90 degrees, you have the same form. So that's called a face of a cube, also known as a hexahedron. Hexa meaning six. So you have the octa, the word octa means eight. So you have the octahedron, which represents another element. All of these platonic solids, all five platonic solids represent five elements. This is from ancient teachings, ancient bodies of knowledge. And each one of these elements are related to one another in a very specific way. So you don't have one without the other one. Everywhere you go, if you have earth, you have all of the other elements. Air, you have all of the other elements. If you have fire, you have all of the other elements. If you have water, you have all of the other elements. And the etheric force, represented by the dodecahedron, it embodies all of these elements that I just spoke of. But once again, this is more like sacred geometry 303. So we're going to pretend as though we're in a classroom and it's sacred geometry 101.
Okay.
make an attempt to keep this clear.
Yeah, because even the words you're using are a little more advanced for probably most of us. So I really appreciate you going in the teaching mode, because we can always elaborate and develop it in the next hour. But yeah, some of the words, if you could break them down so that the average, kindergartner or first grader can understand.
Yes. Like everyone knows what a triangle is.
Right.
It's a flat pattern with three sides. But an equilateral triangle is a very special geometric form. And in an equilateral triangle, if you can take two equilateral triangles and fit them perfectly inside of a vessel of Pisces. Now, once again, I don't have representations of this, so I'm going to apologize for actually saying it. But the point is that I want to plant some seeds in your minds, because when you do choose to go and study sacred geometry, we have a technical problem. And this technical problem that I'm getting ready to reference now is the same technical problem that exists in what we conveniently call education. I just wrote a commentary to a curator at my alma mater, NC State University, and the comment had to do with how education has been dumbed down so that rote learning is considered teaching.
Right.
Educating, but rote learning is not what we are supposed to be doing in an educational forum. What we're supposed to be doing in educational forums is inspiring people to tap into their intuition. Because in my understanding of consciousness, intuition is our telephone line to God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Now, I'm speaking poetically and metaphorically, but reality, if I may, can only be experienced through the phenomenon of metaphor and analogy. The only way that we can make sense of anything is through what's called poetry and metaphor. So the most potent, most vibrant conversations that can be had between humans are actually had in the form of storytelling, and which includes poetry and metaphor. And so, and this is understood by some people who know deep psychology and deep spirituality, that you have to have metaphor and poetry in order to communicate. So, but once again, it's just difficult for me to make a concerted effort to break that down and have that make sense at the pedestrian level. But once again, I'm simply planting seeds. Hopefully people who are listening to this that find any value might be recording it for posterity, because I'm painting word pictures that actually have great meaning and have profound and far-reaching implications. Okay, so where do we go from here?
Wow. So, it's funny. I was talking to someone about geometry. And the conversation was somewhat about, well, is geometry relevant? Math, we were just talking about math in general, how kids learn math. And then I think it was my granddaughter, actually, that the subject came up. So I'm really appreciating all this conversation, all this teaching about a subject that often becomes irrelevant to people. So I'm hoping today we can bring it up to a level of, as you say, sacred. It's sacred. It's not just math. When I was terrible in math, I was worse in science, but math was not my favorite. French language was always my favorite, but a lot of people avoid math In fact, I avoided math in college because I didn't score high enough, and I wanted to be a teacher when I went to college. But math was my weakness. So I'm appreciating taking this to a level of relevancy in our society today. And that's what I'm hoping we can do, like you say, plant some seeds for people to appreciate when they see these geometric figures, how sacred they are, and your work is bringing that out for all of us to see geometry in a different way. That's kind of been your purpose and your focus and your intention when you make these figures, when you create these figures, right?
Yeah. And that's why I suggest that there's something that's going on that's related to medicine. Simply because medicine has to do with restoring. True medicine has to do with restoration. And what we're asking for is to look at the restorative properties that are embodied in identifying with and being in relationship with specific geometric patterns. So the geometry, once again, is in our constitution. We don't see it with our physical eyes simply because we're not looking at it microscopically. But if we could see microscopically, we would see geometric patterns. We can look at all of the structures. Okay, the word crystal, for example, different people have different ideas as to what a crystal is. But a two-dimensional crystal is on the wall behind me, this particular form that you see here.
Right,
That's a nine-fold symmetry. Pattern. It's a very, very powerful mandala, and you can see that there's a spiraling going on in there. You see the red spirals from the inside to the out, the blue spirals from the inside to the out, the yellow spirals from the inside to the out. So that particular form is actually thought of as a crystal, but there's a three-dimensional corollary to it. And the three-dimensional corollary to it has not been made yet, in my estimation. I certainly haven't made it myself. I'm not saying that no other humans have not made it. I'm simply saying that I haven't made it. But like in my living room, actually the house is full of geometric forms. This form over my head here in red is actually a three-dimensional form which hasn't been completed yet, but it's a cube octahedron nested inside of a, it's a cube octahedron that has eight star points. And those eight star points would be pyramids. Like you can see the pyramid at the top. Okay, if you look over here, yellow strut and red strut, you can see that there's a pyramid on the top. Well, it's supposed to be a pyramid. There's supposed to be six of those pyramids, which would create what would be called a stellated octahedron. But inside of the form is what's called a cube octahedron, which means the six faces of a cube, the eight faces of an octahedron. Well, that cube octahedron, believe it or not, that structure actually exists inside of our cells. Now, this has been proven by science. I think it's called radionics. Radiograph, right? If you take a radiograph of a cell, right, hold on for a second. Yes, I do. Hold on for one moment. If you take a radiograph of a cell, and you can go out in cyberspace and look this up, if you take a radiograph of a cell, you are actually going to find, I'm trying to figure out how to move this thing.
Yeah, okay, there you are, center.
You're actually going to find a form in the radiograph that looks like the geometry on the outside of this form here. That's 12 pentagons and 20 hexagons. Now, some people know the name Buckminster Fuller. Some people know the word Fullerene, Buckminster Fullerene, and some people know the word soccer ball. Well, the soccer ball has that very same pattern on the outside of it. And so most of us know that it's generally accepted knowledge that honeycombs have hexagons on the inside of them. This has to do with the nature of economy. So we're talking about, economy and structure and form. If you look at our skin, and if you look at it under a magnifying glass, you're actually going to see something that looks like a pattern, okay? And that's because organic matter, even though just like water, water is the most fluid thing imaginable, if I may, where the relationship between the atoms is constantly in flux. Well, when you stretch your skin on your hand or on your forehead like this, you're looking at motion, movement. Well, that's because our body is, some people have different numbers, 80%, 60%, 70%, 90% water. The different numbers show up depending upon who you're talking to. But it doesn't matter. The body is more than 50% water. And water is a fluid structure that, and the only way I know how to talk about this is that it's constantly in flux. It is not in a static state unless it's frozen. So, once again, I'm going to need some help. Where do we take this from here?
Well, we need to take a break. I missed the 8:30 break, so I'm going to see if, and then I have a caller who's pressed one. So after the break, we can give you a break and take a caller, and if I can get.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart...
I'll open up the mic of our caller, and I hope we can hear him, because my speaker on my phone...
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves. But I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy
in
the sunset
or
sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and
move around
with
almost
Deborah,
done with our commercials.
Here
in
on
the
Female
Solution
Show.
Call
in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
No.
Okay, I have another one. Okay, are we done with commercials? I can barely hear you. Hello?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, I'm going to go to, I'm going to open, I guess, can you open Kwame's mic? Or do you want me to open it? I'm not sure. I can barely hear on my phone, though, so I'm not sure
how
that's going
to
go.
Sorry, I actually cut him off. We'll have to call back. I hit the wrong thing here.
Okay, we are back in the studio, and we're going to try and we had a caller. So I'm going to go back to you, Van. Is it okay if I call you Van?
I would appreciate you not, simply because that's what my mother called me. My father called me Van Doren, and the truth is that Van is an abbreviation of the full energetic signature of my pedestrian name.
Van Doren.
You know,
okay.
And Van Doren, yeah. And Van Doren actually has more of my human essence than the word Van. So when we use the word Van, it's like identifying half of a human being, right? It's like referencing half of a human being energetically. Remember what you did with Vianna, right?
Yes.
Well, it's the same thing with Van Doren. Van Doren is the vibrational signature of who I am as a person navigating in this skin suit or this space suit called the human body. But my real name is Uncle Shabda Onibi. That's my real name. But I don't talk about that for the most part, simply because that's asking too much of our culture, our Western culture, to ingest, digest, and assimilate. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
But the name Uncle Shabda Onibi has a very powerful energetic signature, and so what you're looking at on the screen, these are love offerings, if I may, love offerings from the heart and soul of the one known as Uncle Shabda Onibi. So when I write things and I post things, you'll see in cyberspace some of the things that I post, it will say Van Doren AA, and that means that the Uncle Shabda Onibi is being given some is being honored by using the two initials AA after my name Van Doren. So anyway, and you see like Bach. Bach has a very, very powerful energetic signature. So just when someone sees BAA, it actually has, once again, everything that we experience, like if you're talking about studying the Hebrew language, Mark Asidic knows this. The Hebrew language is an embodiment of medicinal forms in sound, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right, medicinal forms in sound. All of these geometries that you're looking at on the screen are medicinal forms. And we're not on the air yet, are we?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, heavens, I thought we were talking privately. Anyway, all right, well, that's the cat that's out of the bag, everybody. These are actually medicinal forms. And so for the what I call them, the negators, that is, those agents who are working against our best interests as a collective, for those who are listening, this is not medicine. But for those who are part of the Freedom League, it's medicine.
Okay, so we can do a quick disclaimer here. I usually do a quick disclaimer here. This show is not intended to replace any medical advice you may be receiving from your doctor. If you have any chronic or acute conditions in your mind, body, spirit that you have not been able to resolve, we highly recommend that you see your trusted health professional. And I am so grateful that my guest is indeed talking about medicine as these figures, that these pieces are a piece of medicine. They are one of the many, many tools that nature gives us. And it's really special to have someone like Van Dorn to create these images that are all over nature. I saw a highly blown up picture of a mosquito. And my goodness, it was like an alien because the whole body was geometry. The eyes, the skin, it was all geometric shapes in the mosquito now. So if nothing else, it can help us appreciate mosquitoes. And someone was saying, well, the mosquito was landing on them. Oh, I know, it's one of my Facebook friends. The mosquito was landing on them, and it was some of them were giving their medicine, meaning biting, and others were not. But they were kind of exploring his skin. So in a way, just looking at these pieces is kind of an exploration of our mental and emotional. I can see where these figures would create healing on some level if we really are focusing on, meditating on the whole patterns here. In fact, are there any particular ones that you would want to talk about as we scroll?
Well, okay, let's go back up to the white form that's on the far left, right, because the one to the left, that one there.
Sandstone? Is that sandstone harmonizing resonant?
Harmonizing resonator, right.
Okay.
That particular form is the one that I showed you just a few moments ago, the last one that I held up to the camera. The harmonizing resonator, that one right there, it has the geometry on the outside of a soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in science today understood as a carbon-60 molecule.
Mm-hmm.
And the carbon-60 molecule, what I said earlier, I want to circle back around to what I said earlier, because what I was attempting to say is that the carbon-60 molecule, which is a molecule made up of 60 carbon atoms, exists in our cells. So many people have heard that we're carbon-based life forms.
Right,
well,
right.
There's a tremendous amount of carbon in our constitution. And much of that carbon in our constitution exists in the form of a carbon-60 molecule, which is in every cell. I believe it's in every cell. Now, what does that mean? That means that the geometry that you're looking at on the screen is mimicking the geometry in our body, microscopic level.
Wow, yeah.
Now, there's some ones that I haven't figured out how to put together where you have there's a term that's called echolocation, which is not what I'm attempting to say, but once again, I haven't found the words yet. But the only way I know how to talk about this is to say that these geometries that we have in our energetic field, I'm talking about the ones that I create, are serving as reminders of the sacred geometry in our body.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There is something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Those who understand, I'm looking for a way to say this, harmonic resonance, right? Those who understand harmonic resonance, the harmonic resonance that exists even at the mental level between the geometric atoms that we look at outside of us and geometric atoms inside of us, there's a harmonic resonance that exists. And so what these geometries are doing is simply serving as reminders to us. And that is important because if we think about mental constructs, what's important? What is important is where we place our attention, what we think about, what we feel, the repeat patterns. So, you know, thoughts are things, as many people know, they're actually acts of creation. Feelings are acts of creation. So our energetic signatures at the feeling level and at the thinking level are related to these patterns. And the idea is to, once again, be in harmonic resonance with something that can be considered elevating of a spiritual nature. That's the simplistic way of talking about how these geometries work. I hope I did that question.
Okay, so I know I've kind of ignored our callers, but let me go back. And let me just say that I'm going to open up, see if I can open up Kwame's Sun Horse's mic. My volume, my speakers aren't that loud, though, but so Kwame Sun Horse, can you hear me?
Grand rising, Sister Beata, and greetings to your guests, and assalamu alaikum to Naima Latif. You know,
and unfortunately, I don't think he can hear you because my phone, so I'm going to have, you can't hear him, can you?
No, I can't.
No, so I'm going to have to kind of translate or convey what you're saying to him. He's on my laptop on Facebook. And unless you can go to Facebook and make comments, well, I'll just convey what you're saying, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll convey whatever you're saying. Kwame Sunhorse is on the line, Van Dorn, and he's a Native American elder and a teacher of many of the things you're talking about today.
Sure.
So, Kwame, if you want to go ahead and comment, and just pause, and I'll convey your message and your question to him.
Okay, and what he's talking about is the geometrics, and geo is earth, and our
geo
earth
is earth. You're talking about geometrics. He says geo is earth. Okay, go ahead.
And me, and as each individual, everything that is on this planet is resonating and forms the sacred geometry of the alignment in our solar system and in our sun, moon. And so we're body electric, and what we're doing is now we're understanding how we resonate the metrics and measurement. That's all that means, is the measurement of the frequencies we're receiving here on the planet to form the consciousness that we work with.
Yes, and so Kwame is affirming all that you're saying and talking about our consciousness is actually as a part of this whole picture and equation. It really is bringing out the cosmic as well as consciousness. And Kwame, did you have a question for him at all?
Yes, and with him saying that the carbon base, we're moving from a carbon base to, he sees that we're now moving into the silica.
Moving into
silica frequency.
I'm familiar, right, yes.
Yes, he says he's familiar. So any questions?
Right. No, I just wanted to confirm that part and thank him for being able to awaken the people because that's part of his purpose in education, but to help bring out what's already in each individual.
So Kwame is saying thank you for awakening the people and bringing out this consciousness and what we so need right now to pierce the darkness, I would say. Thank you, Kwame.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And
we're all transitioning.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so this is what I call the Great Awakening.
Yes.
And also, I call it the Great Return.
Yes.
But let's leave the Great Return aside and simply talk about the Great Awakening.
So
what happens is there are these individuals down through history that we call forerunners. And the forerunners are individuals who come to shine more light on the equation, the human equation, to help liberate souls from one strata of awareness and raise them to another level of awareness. So that's what these geometries are an effort to do. Sharing these geometries is an effort to lift us into higher states of consciousness so that we can become more in resonance with where we are headed as opposed to where we have been. We're constantly in a state of flux, and we're constantly being elevated, even if we don't know it. You know, it's like asking a glass of water, did you know that I just poured you? Well, you know, at our limited intellectual state, we might say that the water doesn't know that it was poured into the glass. Well, that's just a limited concept. My contention is water is all-knowing. And so if water is all-knowing, then yes, it knows that it's being poured into the glass. It knows what thoughts are being thought in relation to it, what feelings are being felt in relation to it. So everybody knows that there's memory in water, and I'm making a strong declarative statement. But if you go and look at some of the more true science that's available to us as a species, you will know that water is a living entity, just like air, just like earth, just like fire, and just like the ethers. It's all living. I saw something in cyberspace a few days ago, and I had to chuckle. Some guy was debunking the electric universe theory. And, of course, I'm not going to bother with going to listen to someone claim that they know that the electric universe theory is a hoax. The deeper we...
Has he ever seen lightning strike?
Trust me. I mean, I have a friend in Colorado who makes water that is electrically charged. I mean, if you put the water up to your mouth and drink it, you'll get a spark. It's called the spark of life.
Wow.
That's what the water is called.
Yeah.
I happen to know a few alchemists on the planet, and each one of these alchemists are making some really powerful medicine that's being applied to the human condition or the human equation. What's interesting about this conversation is that no one can be lifted in consciousness without taking others with them. So one of my favorite heroes is Harriet Tubman. You know, and the story goes that she might point a pistol at you and say, "You're going with me." Well, I'm not toting any pistols, but my consciousness is a pistol. So what my consciousness is doing is I'm pulling people with me just by being. Now, yeah, thank you. That's interesting. That's a form that was made for Fayetteville State University, and it's called A Monument to Leadership. And it's a lovely composition. It's so powerful. I'm not going to try to talk about it, but I wish if you go to the website, vandornhenna.com, you can actually click on a hyperlink, and it will take you to a video. So you can actually watch this video online, and you can see it from an aerial view. But this totemic form, I actually wrote a statement about it. If you email me, I will email you the statement that I wrote about it. It's too much to try to recall in words right now, but it is, that's the video right there. It is quite the wonderful experience in my estimation. Certainly I've never seen anything like it before, and there are other variations on that theme that are waiting to be realized. So
Do you want me to play that video? It's only one.
Oh, if you can, that would be lovely. Yeah.
2 minutes. Let's see if we can play it.
All right.
Can you hear that? Thank you. Okay, I think, is that the end, or it's just pausing?
Just pausing, right, yeah.
Well, where did you...
Video is...
Why did you select the new... So you were using a drone for that, or...
With the drone to do the video. Yeah.
Right. The drone is amazing.
I don't have a drone. Yeah.
So
this geometry.
I love the sunlight in you, the rays of the sun. Pretty special and awesome because the music is what really was inspiring for me. The piano, you could just meditate on that and listen to the piano, and then the sunlight comes in to kind of remind you of the circle. The circles are in there and the rays. That was beautiful, beautiful. And what, now tell us a little bit about that structure. What went into that? What mind went into that?
Okay, to answer that question, I have to tell you a story that I walk with. And the story goes like this. I am a messenger. And whatever manifests through me is intended as a message to someone, somewhere, some when, okay, sometime. And so that is the truest answer that can be given. A true messenger is transmitting a message or delivering a message. It doesn't originate from the messenger. And so the ideas don't originate from me. The ideas are simply conveyed through me to the edification of humankind, or to the edification of individuals. It's the same difference. Individuals make up humankind. So the idea is that there are mystics and saints across the timeline that are all serving as messengers, delivering whatever message that is necessary to help lift humankind up, lift them to a higher level of awareness so that they can be, they can operate more in alignment with what we consider higher ideals, which would be, in some people's words, truth, beauty, and goodness. Now, you know, truth, beauty, and goodness are tricky propositions to talk about because you have polar opposites. So we are living in the worlds of duality where polar opposites appear to be absolute necessities.
Okay, yeah.
Notice how I language myself.
Yeah.
Polar opposites appear to be absolute necessities. So if that's a given, then the question is, how do I behave in this complex structure that I exist in called society in relation to this notion that polar opposites are absolute necessities? So we have there is a fellow named Rod Eccles who came down from Chicago, let's just say 8 or 9 years ago. He and his wife Niambi, they both work in this field of consciousness that I'm working in, and what Rod impressed upon me was that he was privy to some knowledge that was structured a little differently from the knowledge that I had gained access to, which had to do with the notion that we must embrace our shadow. And what I'm talking about now is doing shadow work. So what, from the Western mindset, which is the only place that I have received any information about this, is that we are being asked by individuals that I would think of as shamans, medicine men, medicine women, to embrace our shadow. Now, that Neville Goddard lecture that I sent to you, he's talking about doing something that's called, I call it restoration. There's a term. What was the term? I apologize. It starts with an aura.
Revision.
Right. As far as I'm concerned, that's some of the most powerful medicine that can be applied to the human condition. Now, anybody that wants to find out what I'm talking about, all you have to do is go into cyberspace, look up the name Neville Goddard, and look up something that's called, a lecture that he did that is called The Cup and the Cross. But in this lecture, he is asking us to consider the distinct possibility that we can revision our experience with others, with our past. Some people call it quantum leaping, quantum jumping. That's another term that is related to this notion of revisioning. But some people talk about the necessity to forgive. Well, Neville Goddard is talking about forgiveness.
Okay.
Go, please.
We've got to take another break. I missed the first one, so I don't want, I'm going to let Maika. And when we come back, I'm so glad you brought us to this point of shadow work and forgiveness, because I want you to talk about the energy from the I apologize, as well as if we have time to go into soul, negative, positive soul contracts. I know that might be deep for some, but yesterday our host, Dr. Debbie Green, and our executive producer had a really heavy discussion, interesting discussion about soul, negative soul contracts that people are in, and they're in these toxic relationships or not, and yet they're not understanding why they're in them and how to get out of them, I think, more importantly. Because I feel at this point in my life, I left an unhealthy marriage, and I feel like that's what people need to consider before they die, because that's what it, to me, it leads to death in some level. But I want your take on that topic, and you've kind of sedgeway us into that anyway, talking about revisioning and forgiveness, because that's what it's all about. But I'm going to, let's see, I'm going to open up the mic of 773-366. Is that Maika? No, maybe not. Anyway,
no.
Maika.
Yeah, well, she was on earlier, but she might, maybe she'll call back. But I can play the commercials, and then I got a question.
Okay, go ahead. I'm conveying, because my speaker on my phone for some reason isn't projecting. But if you want... if you can go play our commercials, and then when we come back, I'll give him your question.
Okay, be right back.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating.
We can't hear the
Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me. For mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time.
First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, jobs, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel
okay,
this
back.
Way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth,
okay,
solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Okay, we're back. I'm going to leave that alone. And Naima has, our executive producer has a question for you. So, Naima, if you want to, are you there?
Yes, yes. So, I know your guest is familiar with the work of Masaru Emoto with emotional imprinting of water.
Hold on. She says she knows you're probably familiar with Masaru Emoto's work on water.
Let me speak to that. Yeah,
he'll speak to that. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Naima.
So, you know, what happens, as you know, when people speak words of love, and the water is frozen, it creates these beautiful geometric patterns, these beautiful crystal patterns.
It creates geometric patterns.
Ask him to let me speak to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you want him to speak to?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask him the question because, of course, when people spoke negative words like I hate you and things like that,
mm-hmm.
then the patterns
mm-hmm.
are very much misshapen.
Right.
So I've come to learn
right.
that other species outside of our Earth, they communicate with us through geometric patterns, and one
okay,
pattern
hold
can.
Hold on.
I can actually hear her.
You can hear her?
Oh, great.
Yeah, I have
oh, great.
Ears, yes.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
Okay. So now you know with those who are extraterrestrials and the crop circles that they create with light beings that form these geometric patterns, you know, they're communicating with us a whole concept. So one pattern might contain a lot of information as opposed to how we communicate where, you know, I say a word and I got to say a word after it and a word after it and make a sentence. But their communication is an entire concept contained in that one
right.
pattern. And
okay.
it seems that water does the same thing. And because
mm-hmm.
we are, 70% water, we
yeah.
have the capacity to, I guess, on a cellular level, receive that communication of those
mm-hmm.
geometric patterns.
Right.
So
okay.
I wanted
Any
to
question?
Get his thought on that, the fact that this
okay.
this is a higher level of transference of thought and understanding using those geometric patterns, and that we've seen water does that when you speak to it, either positive
mm-hmm.
or negative, it will show you
okay.
the pattern of what that feels like.
Okay, so I'll let him address that. Thank you. Did you hear that?
Could you just say the last part of
talking about how the water, the patterns of water change when we have negative versus positive words and how that affects us, right, Naima?
Right. So his experiment showing that if that's affecting water and we're 70% water, how the energy of our thoughts and words.
Energy of our thoughts and words.
Together.
Effect since we're 70% water. Thank you, Naima. I'll let him adjust that or address that.
Yeah. So Naima actually either at the very end, I could not hear what she said at the very end, which was part of a question maybe. She was talking about how the communication between living life forms here, human beings, and beings from other star systems and what have you. There is a line of communication. Non-locality and non-linearity want to be brought up at this particular intersection. This is a deep dive, everybody. Some of you all know the name Ralph Smart. Everywhere I go, I'm asking us to take a deep dive into a well of awareness that many of us might not be accustomed to diving into. Many people on this forum are familiar with some of the stories that have been told about non-local communication, especially when you have a parent and a child who are in sympathetic resonance with one another, and the parent knows immediately when something is going to happen or does happen to their child or any loved one for that matter. We have a gazillion stories out here that populate the airwaves which are being communicated on this planet about the interconnectivity of consciousness. So all of us are connected together. And those of us who are in denial about that are actually working against the benefit of the collective as far as I can imagine. And I'm not trying to make a declarative statement there. I'm being very diplomatic by saying it appears to me that those who are in resistance to the notion that we are all connected and that we are all one, those individuals are part of the problem as far as I can see.
Well, and we've had 2 years of what I call Twilight Zone episodes that are trying to divide us on that subject and take us away from that truth, right?
Yeah, well, the problem that we have with talking about that is that we can go down some very deep rabbit holes.
Right.
In regards to stories about how human beings have been systematically programmed to believe something that is not true. And that something that is not true, in my estimation, goes like this. Okay, the great lie or the great hoax has been we are not connected and we are not one. So that great hoax and that great lie has worked against humankind for millennia. Our job, as far as I'm concerned, is to restore the notion and the understanding, overstanding, understanding, however you want to configure that, to restore the awareness that we are all connected, we're all intimately connected, and we're all one. So what Naima was talking about was Dr. Emoto's work, where he was able to show evidence of the effect that thoughts and feelings have on water. So all of his works and all of Dr. Hugh Lin's work, so I'm actually talking about two different people now. Dr. Hugh Lin, which was from Hawaii, and Dr. Emoto, I'm not so sure what his origins are, maybe Japanese. But the point is that these two individuals brought us some science that has irrefutable proof that thoughts are things and thoughts are acts of creation.
You're looking down. That's why I didn't want you to get started.
Messages in water, those of us on the call that don't know what I'm talking about, just go look up messages in water, and you'll see what Dr. Emoto may contribute to. Then there's another science called Ho'oponopono, which Dr. Hugh Lin learned from a woman whose name is Mauna, and I forgot her full name. But anyway, you can go in cyberspace and just look up Ho'oponopono, and you'll gain some knowledge about Ho'oponopono. So what I was instructed to do was to synthesize what Dr. Hulan brought us and what Dr. Emoto brought us in the form of words, and to create seven statements that can be spoken to one's water. They can be spoken to all of the water across all time and space. It can be spoken to someone that we're in relationship with as an individual, or they can be spoken to, or spoken from our ancestors through us to others' ancestors through them. So we're talking about many different ways of communicating messages across what's conveniently thought of as space-time. And so these seven statements I will give you now, they go like this, and there's a correlation between the seven statements and the seven main chakras in the body. Starting at the root chakra, we would say, I apologize. Then the second chakra, please forgive me. At the solar plexus, the third chakra, I love you. At the heart chakra, I appreciate you. At the throat chakra, I respect you. At the third eye, I thank you. And at the crown chakra, now. So the seven statements, I apologize, please forgive me, I love you, I appreciate you, I respect you, I thank you, now. You can also use that and apply it to relationships between tribes, and it goes like this, or between groups. We apologize, please forgive us, we love you, we appreciate you, we respect you, we thank you, now. Those words can be thought of as a prayer, they can be thought of as a love offering, it doesn't matter how you package it in your mind. If you apply those seven statements, you are operating some very high
one mic still
magic.
Open.
I'm going to use the word magic here. Some people are afraid of magic because they've been brainwashed into believing that magic is of a negative nature. Magic is in the breath. Magic is in the thought. We are magical beings, and I won't say any more about that. Please help me with where do we go from here?
Okay, we got a couple of questions for you. Maika Bevel, I think that's who that 779801. Maika, are you there?
I'm here. Greetings to all. Grand Rising.
Greetings. I'm going to have to convey your I'm going to have to convey your question or thought because he can't
hear.
But here's Maika. I just thought of something. We could use those seven statements in EFT work. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. They're applicable across the spectrum.
Yes. Okay, so go ahead. What's your question or comment?
Well, I had wrote a comment on Facebook because I thought with the statement that you made was very interesting, that everything that you see is part of a greater whole. I think that's very profound, and it stood out in my mind, and I just wanted to express my gratitude.
Okay, she said it included what? Of a greater whole?
Huh? Did you repeat that? Can you speak up real loud? Repeat that.
You said everything that you see is part of a greater whole. Do you remember saying that?
Everything?
Yes.
Yes, he says yes. Okay.
Okay, I was just speaking to that statement. I thought that was a very high-level statement of understanding.
He thought that was a very high-level statement of understanding. Everything you see is a part of a greater whole, right?
Right.
Okay.
You know,
Thank you, sister.
We see a limited aspect of something, and we consider that knowing. That's not knowing. That's a part of the experiencing that leads to knowing.
Right. Big part of the experience that leads to knowing. Thank you. Okay, she's affirming that everything we see is a part of a greater picture. And Kwame has a question on the, and I wrote down, Kwame, I know your mic's on, but he said he wants you to comment on the melting of Arctic and Antarctic melting, releasing ancient consciousness. Have you heard that, or does that ring true to you?
Right. That which has been hidden is being revealed. This is a time of revealing.
Yeah.
And let me speak to the word revealing, because now we're talking about some high magic of a negative nature.
High magic of a negative nature? Wow.
In language, humans have been conditioned to be unconscious. So the word revealing wants to be replaced with the true statement, unveiling. Revealing means to cloak and to veil again. Okay? Do you all understand that?
Yeah.
The word reveal it means to reveal, which means to hide, to obscure. The word wants to be unveiled. So just those simple understandings of how words have been structured to confuse the mind. We don't want to use the word reveal. We want to use the word unveil. It's just like release. I refuse to use the word release. I say let go.
Let go. Yes. Yeah.
Let go instead of release, because release means to take a lease out on something again.
Yes.
So we have to really be careful the words that we use and the true meaning behind the words. But there are some very awake humans that have been trying to help us for millennia recognize the deceitfulness that is embodied in the words that we have been asked to use. Just like in ancient times, there was one language on the planet, and then some, I'll use the word overlords, came in and said, well, if this is how we separate and divide them so that we can conquer them, we will give them many different languages. And that was the beginning of our, I guess you might say, destruction as a unified species.
Unified collective,
right? When different languages were introduced into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So, for anybody that's listening that says, oh, he's talking conspiracy theory, I will tell you in no uncertain terms that the term conspiracy theory was born in the CIA war room. And by the way, the CIA war room is simply a construct that was organized to help oppress people on the planet, okay? It has nothing to do with national security, unless you want to go deeper down the rabbit hole and talk about why do we have nations.
No, let's go to relationships.
No, let's go to one nation under God.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, and even one nation under the universe, I call God is the universe, and the universe is nature. So one nation under all of this energy that we call God, dog, whatever. And so, yeah, we're growing and growing every day in our consciousness of words, like you said. But I want to really, we're going to probably go over. I hope you can stay. To just explore this topic of soul contracts, negative, positive soul contracts, and how our awareness of sacred geometry even can help us heal these soul contracts that are really destructive to our soul and spirit and body sometimes.
Well, all of this learning that we're doing as individuals and as a collective, it is, in my estimation, absolutely necessary. If there is such a thing as divine order, then what we're experiencing is all in divine order. Now, let me speak to that. Because what does the negative have to do with anything? It has to do with developed spiritual muscles. So if we didn't have some negative forces to push against, we might just be we might just want to lay out under the sun and just sunbathe all day. that might not be the best thing for us. What I'm attempting to suggest is that the negative forces that are at play in the human equation may have a positive effect or positive purpose,
yes,
which is to help us wake up,
yes,
and recognize,
yes,
our divinity and then to live that divinity. So, take that or leave it. That's a deep rabbit hole that I'm asking some of us to go down. But in relationships, you have these negative variables and you have these positive variables. If we were to take all of what we perceive as negative and say, and put a positive spin on it, which is, if this doesn't kill me, it makes me stronger. Okay? That's a famous line from our ancestors. That which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, all of us that are breathing haven't died yet, so we must be getting stronger, right?
Yeah, that's a song, too.
Yeah, we have a whole lot of stuff that's being thrown at us as individuals and as a collective. Our job is to consider rising to the occasion, embracing all of this, and saying, how do I make this work for me? And so one way to make this work for us is to recognize that this is for our spiritual edification. This is to help us strengthen our, gird up our loins, as it is put in some sectors, to become strong and centered in our awareness of our sacrality. And that is just by doing that, we lift others up. Because whatever elevates us, elevates others. We can't go up without taking others with us. And the contrary is true. We can't go down without individuals being taken down or reduced in awareness and consciousness. So there's this constant dynamic between what we call good and evil. And that's a concept that's way too deep for us to try to embrace and talk about in this particular forum today, even though I would love to go there. But it's kind of like level 505, if I may, if we've been talking about 101, 202, 303, 404,
right,
405.
Right. Well, we can stay at 101, relationships 101. I call marriage 101. I had marriage 101 for 30 some years, and I came out like with A+, because we didn't kill each other. The divorce was pleasant, and I got a little money out of the house and went on and bought my tiny house. Now I'm gonna renovate. I marriage 101. So let's talk about relationships 101, if you will, and sacred. So well, let's go to 102 or 3, because we're talking about sacred soul contracts that are meant to do what? What are these soul contracts that we sometimes, people are like, well, I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know what happened. You know, that to me is like the soul contract you're in.
Right, right. So we have some stories that are put in the world, and we have words. We have the word victim.
Yes, right? Yes, well, yes.
When an individual has been programmed or patterned to be identified with the victim state, they are in an act of creation.
Mm.
And so the job that relationships, or the purpose that relationships can serve, is help us to realize that there is no need to be in a state of victimhood.
Mm.
So, but the way that we elevate ourselves out of victimhood is first to declare, I'm not going to be a victim today or tomorrow. I might have been a victim yesterday, but no more. So metaphorically and poetically speaking, we have to put our foot down and we have to take a stand for our dignity as spiritual beings and say, I'm through with the victim conversation. I'm through with the victim experience. It's time for me to live a different reality. And that's the beginning of the upward spiral that a person can jump onto, the spiraling upward in consciousness, so that we can free ourselves from the victim conversation, the addiction to victimhood, and then help to serve those who are lingering behind in a state of victimhood. So we have all of these various stages of spiritual development that we walk through as individuals. And so there's no right and wrong in any of this. If a person is clinging to victimhood, that's all well and good. That's where they choose to be. See, here we go. Let's roll another concept out. First cause. Each one of us are actually first cause. And what I mean by that is that we are choosing to be who and where and how and why we are. But if we're running the victim script, there's always somebody else or something else that is first cause. And as long as there's somebody else and something else that is first cause, and we are playing the role of a victim. And that's all in divine order. Those who want to stay in that role, stay in that role, and when you get tired of that role, come visit me and tell me that I have chosen to liberate myself from victimhood, and I'm standing in my power, and I'm here to help liberate souls who are ready to stand in their power. Now, I'm doing a little preaching here. Forgive me if you all do not appreciate what I am saying here, but it is time for some of us to leave the plantation called victimhood. If you choose to leave the plantation, I'm talking Harriet Tubman here now, okay? If you choose to leave the plantation known as victimhood, you will be taking others with you. There's no way around it. So if you're ready to take that quantum jump, that quantum leap, then I applaud you. I personally am looking for more souls to own their power and to leave victimhood behind as a very important lesson that they were able to completely understand, comprehend, and appreciate. See, the problem is that we have to have appreciation for our experiences, or at least we can choose to. To appreciate what happened. Now, some of you all are already familiar with the healing powers in gratitude and appreciation. Instead of hating on somebody for some wrong that we saw them exercise or do, we can thank them for that and say, my gratitude for that experience is my ticket to freedom. Some of you who are listening understand what is embodied in those words. Those who are clinging on to victimhood, God bless you. I can't do anything about that except to suggest to you that you can free yourself. As they said in a song from the past, some of you know this this phrase, this refrain, free your mind and your ass will follow.
Okay, so let's take that for a minute. We don't have, we can go.
The kingdom of heaven is within.
Right, right. Okay. So the victim that many of black people are in about slavery just keeps rolling. That plantation mind that we were kidnapped from Africa, brought over here, and now we're still victims 400 some odd years later. And here's Juneteenth coming around, and we're going to hear about this victim story again, because we just, Texas freed us. For some reason, we think Texas freed everybody. Now we can celebrate, and it's a holiday. Anyway, I could go on about that. Okay, so let me ask you, how do you help people move on about the slave victim mind that we were kidnapped? In fact, what we're discovering is that those African tribes over there sold many of their brothers and sisters to white slaves. So the whole picture has been skewed and misunderstood that we're victims. And it was the
misrepresented.
So how do we help people come out of, especially black people? And then we're putting guilt on white folks in 2022 for the whole scene that was misrepresented. I would love to see some freedom come out of this whole conversation.
Watch this. Let's ask the question, what is a projection? This is not psychology 101, but if you can answer the question, what is a projection, then you can speak to what patterns am I carrying in my mind and in my heart that I'm projecting onto what I will call the blank screen of life, okay? If there's some deep teachings in some discourses that have been given across the timeline. So one spiritual teacher told a student that the world is a blank canvas. It's a blank screen. And the stories that we're carrying in our minds, the feelings that we're carrying in our hearts are being projected onto the blank screen and are giving us what? Voila, reality. So we are co-creators. So if we could own the idea, just own the notion that we are co-creators, we can dismiss the victim story and then ask the question, what am I creating today? Well, what I'm creating today are the concepts that are living inside of my head. So the subconscious subroutines that are running in our subconscious minds, we are using unconsciously to keep us in bondage. Deep statement. I don't know how many are going to catch that big fish, but you can fry it and get some nutrition out of it, okay? Fry it and eat it, and you can have some really great nutrition. But we are projecting onto the blank screen of life what we carry in our hearts and our minds. So for us to embrace that notion and to work with ourselves to seriously consider the statement that I just made as being an absolute truth, then we are close to the on-route of the freedom march, out of slavery. Slavery is a self-imposed condition. You cannot enslave anyone. You can just help them to remember an untruth. And the untruth is that you are a slave. You're not a slave. You're choosing to. We already know about what's called slavery votes, where X number of individuals, we know the story, many of us know the story of Amistad. Those brave souls who say no to the great lie, those are the liberators. And the perpetrators of what I would call these social injustices, call them slave owners or whatever you want to call them, those individuals are playing a role, our experience that we could own by simply saying, I don't need your lies anymore. I need the truth, which is I am a free, autonomous, sovereign being standing in my power. That is what so much of this these mirages that we are witnessing is about. We're being asked to remember, and remember, the word remember means put back together. So the word remember, like with Osiris, the being put back together, we know that story, some mm-hmm. of us do. Mm-hmm. So we have to put ourselves back together, piece by piece. It can be done in a snap of a finger, or it might take 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, 3 decades. Time is irrelevant. Important is that we choose to wake up and to remember who and what we are. We are divine, sovereign beings operating as first cause in the matrix. And the more we walk towards personal freedom and liberation, the more we take others with us.
Wow. So that's so key. Personal freedom and liberation will free others.
But it can't come from outside of us. It has to come from within.
Right.
So we have to make the declarative statement that I am a free and sovereign being, and we have to dissolve the patterns that have been ingrained in our DNA and our psyche. If we can dissolve the patterns in our psyche, the patterns in our DNA will be dissolved. Reality is an inside job, so we have to go deep within to the core of our being, and we have to first be there consciously and witness our sovereignty, so that can have a ripple effect and ripple out into bodies, the outer world, and the whole experience changes in a flash if we can understand that there really is no such thing as time. So to say there's no such thing as time implies that there's no such thing as space. All of that's true and false at the same time. I want to talk about paradox very quickly, because for those that are listening, I want to suggest that what my spiritual teachers impressed upon me is that if you want to touch truth, find your way to paradox. Paradox is where two polar opposites exist as seemingly contrary notions. If you can find your way to the heart of paradox, you have found your way to some deep truth. And I really can't say any more than that because I'm speaking poetically and metaphorically. But please be able to assist me with answering the question, where do we go from here?
Okay, so real quick, when you talk about paradoxes, two polar opposites that exist, and finding the truth in the middle, is what we need to be about or doing. And then what happens when you find that truth? For instance, if you have two people in a relationship and they're opposite and they've been in conflict for a while, not able to come to agreement a lot of times, or conflicts that keep developing. So once you realize that, can you come to the middle of that relationship and find truth, or is that something that needs to be dissolved?
Well, we're talking about harmony and disharmony.
Right.
In a relationship, there is a place that individuals can go where they can meet each other halfway, and some people would call it compromise, but I don't like to think in terms of compromise. I like to think in terms of acclimating to each other's so-called truths and answering the question, how do we harmonize in what seems to be a disharmony? And you have to meet each other halfway somehow. And one of the ways to do that is to say, okay, there's 7 days in a week. 3 days it'll be my way, 3 days it'll be your way, and what's in the middle, well, we'll play with that, right? That's about being creative. Everything has to be creative in this dynamics of relationship, okay?
Right.
That simple example right there, okay, you can just rotate. Day one, 7 days in a week. Day one is my way. Day two is your way. Day three is my way. Day four is your way. Day five is, you know, we can do all of that. We're talking about working with someone who seems to be on the opposite end of the scale of what turns us on, what juices our soul, what has us feeling at peace, happy and what have you. No, those are extreme examples. I'm not saying that any of that will work, but it's something to be tried. I remember when I was in my first marriage, I didn't want to eat chicken, but I ate chicken. I ate chicken because I was going to be in peace. I personally was going to be in peace in this relationship, as much peace as I could squeeze into it. From my psyche, I was going to be in peace because today I'm eating chicken.
Dissolve patterns in our psyche. For me, this chart behind me is German New Medicine, and that's a lot of the truth and process of German New Medicine is dissolving the patterns in our psyche where we have these traumatic events in our past, and it stays in our emotional reality. In our mental construct is that, oh, this happened to me, and every time someone does something, it triggers this emotion with our psyche, and that's why I'm a practitioner of German New Medicine, because it really resonates, and it's a truth that you're talking about today. So how do we dissolve patterns in our psyche? You're saying is coming into the realization, understanding that we are sovereign beings, that we are free to do and choose what we came here to do, but that takes some work, right? That's some work. It's not easy.
We're not taught that from childhood. We're not taught that we're a sovereign being.
Right.
We're taught that we are basically slaves on a plantation.
In our home, in our own home. You do what I say and don't question anything.
Exactly, right. So,
and if you disobey, you're going to get whipped.
Punished in some one way or another,
Maybe
you'll be put in the closet. The point here is that, when we find ourselves looking at ourselves in the mirror, asking the question, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
It it might be important to say, I am love, I am beauty, I am truth, I am goodness, I am grace, I am a divine being, sovereign being, all of those and more. The more we acknowledge our divinity, the more we acknowledge our sovereignty, the more of our divinity and sovereignty will show up outside of us in the equation. So life is not necessarily going to give us anything other than what we claim. So we're talking about recognizing that we're first cause in the equation called life, and that we have to claim it. So you claim it inside so that it will manifest outside of you.
That is so powerful. That's like a perfect ending to this session we've just had. You'll have to come back, I hope. Because I see that in relationships where people are stuck in these unhealthy relationships, that if one person will declare their sovereignty and their divinity, that it will actually help the other person. But if they continue to compromise their sovereignty and their divinity, there's just going to be this cycle of confusion and unhealthiness is how I look at it, because that's not who we are here on a soul level to be. Wow, that's just beautiful. My brother, please, Van Dorn, please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you. Give us your email or website again.
If you go to my technician for my website, lightweaving.com, has been having a difficulty. There's something that hasn't been cleared up. There's
right.
absolutely nothing wrong with the site, but if you try to visit it on certain instruments like a phone or
right.
an iPad or a tablet, you can't seem to get in yet.
Yeah.
But if you go on a website,
computer.
Computer, you can get in.
Mm-hmm.
Lightweaving.com, or you can go to VanDornHennett.com. So my name is VanDornHennett.com. That's a website. And then Lightweavings with an S on the end. .com, that's the other website. Go to either one of those websites, just say hello, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Yep.
Now the items I showed earlier on the screen, how do they go, what site is that on where they can purchase some of these items?
That Etsy site is on my Lightweaving site, so
okay.
you might have to access the store on Lightweaving
okay.
on a computer or desktop or whatever, as opposed to an iPhone or a laptop right now, because once again, there's some problem that hasn't been resolved yet with people being given an error message when they try to access it on an iPhone or an iPad or a tablet. But once again, you can email me at vandornhennett@gmail.com. So that's my name, vandornhennett@gmail.com. You can email me there, or you can email me at lightweavings@aol.com. I receive emails at both email addresses. I'll be glad to interface with you and share with you whatever I can towards your edification. Thank you.
And you're located right now in, what, North Carolina?
Durham, North Carolina.
Durham, North Carolina. So everybody, if you're going toward Durham, North Carolina, maybe send them an email. I think at this point in time we should be getting together with like-minded people and just supporting one another. And so if I'm ever in that area, I'm going to send you an email and say, hey, let's meet up and have tea or coffee or something. And that way we can grow this village. I have a new YouTube, Viata's Tiny House Village, and I'm just amazed how the universe is connecting me with people who want to talk about not just tiny houses, but about consciousness and everything we just talked about here. So let us all stay connected and build this community. Go ahead.
The time for lifting up is now.
Yes, absolutely.
The time for lifting up has always been now.
Yes.
So let's get it on.
Woo! Marvin Gaye is Marvin Gaye speaking to us. That is so fun, because Marvin Gaye is speaking to us on a higher level now. He's not talking about the physical energy of that song, but it really is a spiritual message now. Let's get it on. I'm going to put that on my Facebook page today. That's got to be that's the final word, everybody. Let's get it on, and let's take it to a higher level, not the physical level.
Yes.
Love that, love that. Oh, my goodness. Shalom, shalom, and namaste, Satnam. Blessings, my brother, and I hope we'll meet one day soon and have some tea, coffee, whatever that lifts our soul. It's time to get it on, lifting our soul. All right, everybody, we're going to play our...